Pasuk Mizmor Zayin, we're up to Pasuk, Pasuk Hey. Very quickly, Im Gomalti Shloimiro, Vo'achalitzot Sarri Rekam. Hashem, Im. The word Im has to be repeated twice. Im, that's the key. The key is to always realize that there are two rules in reading Pesukim in Neviim and Ksuvim, especially Neviim Acharonim, and not all Ksuvim, some Ksuvim, there's two rules. Number one, always look to repeat. Words are meant to be repeated. They were very, very cheap on ink. So they just said the word once and they self-understood that you have to repeat the word a second time. Rule number two is whoever said the word should be read in order. It's not the goal. The goal is to take the words, lay them out, and rearrange them. It was the two cardinal rules in learning Nach. Repeat words. Don't forget to repeat words, and don't forget to rearrange words. So here we have rule number one, to repeat words, the word im. There are two expressions here. Im gomalti shoy lemi ra, period. Nochmal, repeat, im. Oh, I made a mistake. See, everything, I always make mistakes. Dvarim shamarti tosim v'yadi here, not in this pasuk. I knew what I was saying. In this passage, we do not need to repeat the word im, it's and. There's no repetition here, I'm sorry. V'achalitzot saroi reikom. I release those who caused me pain for free. I did not take revenge. I did not have them pay the price of causing me tzar. Let's look again at the Mitzvah survey. We didn't actually know next time on the, and we already did the Mitzvah. Let's see Rashi run to Rashi. We have to move ahead. Rashi. Im gomalti sholem mira. So we learned, as Rav Kalman told us yesterday, that the word sholomi is not a noun, it is a verb. The people who have paid me, have delivered to me raw, did I reciprocate and give them what they deserve? No. David was mavir al midosav. Someone insulted him, someone caused him harm. No, he let it go. V'chalitzot sarri reikam. I actually had this incident with someone, it's very interesting. So everything's like incredible hashgacha. I know someone very well because they're really part of my family. And someone just happened to tell me that that person did them a very big avla. Lashon hara. And he told me that he's very upset and the day is going to come when he's going to tell them that he owe me a mechila. So I told him, I know this person a lot better than you, and you're wasting your time. You're wasting. I know. I says, just forget about it. You're not going to accomplish anything with this person confronting them, not even 10 years from now. Just, it is what it is. I fully understand where you're coming from. And so I didn't even know I was related to this person. I says, just, that's the way their mind works. It's not like you're gonna make a dent in them. Just for your benefit, forget about it. The same way you're willing to tell them, you're gonna let it go for a long period of time, and then the day will come when you'll spit it back in their face. I says, I've been there with this person already. And spitting it back in their face in 10 years is not gonna do you any good. Trust me. Maybe he's different than that, I don't know. But Dovrov here says that the people that did to me ra, people that insulted me, that harmed me, I never ever went to take revenge, to pay them back what they deserve. I just let it go. I told this many times, the famous thing I think they say it's about the Sfas Emes. Some say it's the Chodesh Yerim, and I'm sure it's about everyone else. Maybe it was the Chasam Sofer, I don't even remember. Let's say it was the Chasam Sofer, it's true with everyone. Chasam Sofer was a Rav. He was a Rav and a Rosh HaYeshiva, he was both. Chassam Sofer is the most amazing person who ever lived in recent times, and not recent so much anymore, but and he was a very, very big Rosh HaYeshiva. He had 250 Talmidim in his prime, and he was also the Rav of Prestra. He was the honored rabbi. And many times there were conflicts between the yeshiva that he ran and the community. It was a Rav and a Rosh HaYeshiva, two separate things. And there were conflicts. He always favored the yeshiva. Always. That was where his heart was. He always took care of the yeshiva. But for the Balabatim in the city, he was loyal to them 100%. But he there the story. about that's for sure. The yeshiva is only is a deficit. Meir told me, I love what he told me that there's a malach in Shemayim who's been created for one purpose only. It scrutinizes every yeshiva in the world, and if it looks at their books, their finances, and if it notices that they're approaching 70% of the budget, if they get to 70%, it sends out a SWAT team to Earth to make sure they don't have 70% of the budget. No yeshiva is in the green. Every yeshiva is in the red. That's a curse in this world. On the tzis. A bracha? A chalkein b'yakev, afitzein b'yisrael. Truly, is this a shimon, who is that? To Levi? You can read the Milami Tinoikos. That's the next parasha. The Milami Tinoikos, afachalkein b'yakev, afitzein b'yisrael. You'll never have part of us. You'll always have to go collecting. It's a reality. Like who is the president of Yeshiva University?
Berman?
No, before him. Go back 50 years.
Belkin.
Belkin met the Pope. Or met the Cardinal. Maybe it was another Cardinal. And he was wearing a yarmulke. As you know, wearing a yarmulke.
Which one? Which one was wearing a yarmulke?
When was the Pope in the time of Belkin?
And he was wearing a red yarmulke.
Who was the Cardinal at that time? O'Connor? Could it be?
No, it was an anti-Semite cook.
This is the Rav Kefet always says this story. He said, "Wasn't it between me and you? We both were yarmulkes, and we both have institutions that we are responsible for. So what's the chilik between me and you? The chilik is your institution is in the green, and your yarmulke is red. My institution is in
the black."
Is in the red. And my yarmulke is black. I'm not getting the story straight. Okay, but over here, getting back, let's not get sidetracked. Getting over here to the pasuk over here. I did not. I tell you the chassam said, the chassam sefer, there was a balabas who caused the chassam sefer.
You know why it's called Black Friday?
Why, no?
No, because it turns from red to black.
So it's not in the green, it's the black. All the businesses catch up.
They go from the red
It's not the currency, it's the books.
What's the book? What do you mean the books?
The accounting books.
In the black, that's what it's black. Called? I thought it was in the green.
Your ink is black. See, the red ink?
Means you're the deficit. It's black and red. So that's the difference. I wear black yarmulke, you wear red yarmulke. My institution is in the red, and my head covering is black. Your institution is in the black, and you wear a red skull cap. Okay, that was the joke.
Right.
That's what he said. Okay, now we got the story. But there was a vice about Balabas with the Chassam Sefer. The Chassam Sefer, the Balabas caused the Chassam Sefer enormous agmas nefesh. He was roidev after him. So he said to the people, "I don't know why he hates me so much. I never did him a toiva." You do so in a time where somehow it triggers this resentment.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Exactly. So here we have that Dovid Melech Tzvah Chatzot, the Dovid says, Im Gamalti, Shol Mi Ra. Shol Mi, it's almost like a joke. You could say Shol means, did I ever go and pay back? You want to say tongue in cheek. Of Kalman, don't put the word Ra with the word Shol Mi. Put the word Shol Mi independent. Did I ever pay back a person that was good to me, that made peace with me? Did I ever punish him? Did I ever fulfill no good deed goes unpunished? I was saying a joke over here in the pasuk. Instead of taking the two words shol mi ra, which identifies an action of an evil person, a person he delivered into my possession ra. Did I ever reciprocate with ra? Never. I'm just telling you a little bit of a joke. Separate the word shol mi from ra. Did a person that's good to me, you have a tendency to hate them. Because you're ashamed to take. You're ashamed. Beholden to him. Did I ever go and pay back? Did I ever go and deliver to a person that's good to me with Ra? I never fulfilled. No good deed goes unpunished. And that's it's not such a joke. It's a chazal. Chazal said, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, create this world? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purpose is in order to bring every neshama into the Olam HaEmes, Hashem created this world to be native, to be good, to give his creatures, his creation, pleasure. So what do we need this world for? This world is temporary. So just take every neshama and bring the neshama directly into Gan Eden. Mm-hmm. And the answer is, if Hashem would have done that, then we would resent it. The neshama would just go undeserved into the Olam HaEmes. The neshamas would be miserable, because it's the nature of a creature to have a need to earn his keep. And if the neshama goes to Olam Haba, they'll rebel against Hashem in Olam Haba, because Hashem is just giving, and we have done nothing to earn our keep. Therefore, Hashem created this dark world where a person doesn't see Hashem, and he has to be a maimin in the Torah mitzvahs to earn the reward, his pleasure that he will receive in the next world. So what do you learn from that? If in this world, if a person just gives, and you take, and you don't do anything to earn your keep, you're a miserable person. You're a miserable person. It's going to come out, and it's going to spew out. David was very good to a lot of people. He was very good. He was the melech. He was the gracious. And people maybe resented that, because people felt that they have a need to earn their keep. And what did they do? They went and they were nasty to him. They did bad things to him. They rebelled against him. So David said, "Okay, it's okay. You can say nasty things about me. I am not going to take revenge. I did nothing to you. I don't deserve this. Why then are you doing this?" It's because that's human nature. Human nature is when you take too much and you don't earn what you're taking, that's what happens. These are the shloimi. I have no harm, no complaint against you, and you causing me pain. I will not go and reciprocate and punish you for what you've done personally to me. Now it comes to someone else, of course, there's justice. First, let's see over here Rashi, next Rashi, then Vachal, Rashi, Dibra Maschil, the second part of the Rashi, Vachal, Tzori Reikam, Shichati Eschali Tzosoi, Bikorchi Esknaf Milo. Rashi is going back to the third interpretation of the purpose of this Mizmar. We're going back to the time when David HaMelech cut the corner of the garment of Shaul HaMelech. I destroyed, shichati, eschalitzosoi, the garment of Shaul. How? Bechorsi, when I cut, esknaf milo, the corner of the garment. Im lahashkes ulechaloi, ulehamidoi reikam. I'm sorry, ulechaltsoi. Now, im lahashkes ulechaltsoi, was it my intent to destroy Ulchaltsoi and to undress him? Was it my intent to destroy Ulchaltsoi and to have him remove his garment? He should stand naked. Was that my intent when I destroyed his garment? Did I do this with hate? Of course not. Ella, the only reason why I did this was Ella to make it known. He, Shaul, was delivered in my hands. I had the opportunity to kill him, and lahorgo v'loy haraktiv. I didn't. I restrained myself. That's true givur. Ezel gibor hakoyvesh es yitzro. V'achalitza, the word v'achalitza l'shoyn hafshotas begodim. The word achalitz means to remove, to take off a shoe. Same thing, v'chalitza sanoal, v'choltza na'aloy me'al raglo. The yama, she removes his shoe from on his foot. And here, v'achalitza, according to the parish of the Rashi, and it's really, really similar to the Mitzudos, I removed his garment. V'achalitza. No, so you see, I was seeing that I was correct what I said in the beginning. When I said in the beginning, at least according to Rashi, not necessarily according to the Mitzudos Tavli, but according to Rashi, I was correct. The word im is indeed meant to be repeated. You have to repeat the word im a second time. Number one, im gomalti sholmi ra, period. Again, im. Now the vav makes it problematic. But im achalitza tsari reikam. Did I undress the garment of my enemy shol for no reason? Just to be mevazim? Of course not. The reason why I undressed Shaul HaMelech by destroying his garment was to show him that I could have killed him, that he was delivered in my hands, and I had rachmanis upon him. I did not kill him. So even though the vav does indeed really throw us off a little bit, but according to Rashi, it's very, very clear that the vav is serving in the place of the in the beginning of the pasuk. Did I do this? Did I try to remove his garment? So we learn over here, See, the Mitzudah Stavit, though, he doesn't explain like that. In the Mitzudah Stavit, it would appear V'achalitza means I'd see the Eshloif, to withdraw, I remove my enemies from upon me, Reikam, without, for free. It's a statement. There is a machloikis between the Mitzudos David and Rashi, if it's a rhetorical question or it is a statement. According to the Mitzudos David, it is a statement. The first half of the pasuk is a rhetorical question. Im gamalti shalom ra? Question mark. Of course not. And now comes a statement. The statement is, I'm a very good person, to Hashem. When my enemy causes me pain, ordinarily, when you cause someone pain, there's a price to pay. You send them a bill. You cause me pain, here's the bill. Chop off your head and give it to me. That's normally the charge for causing someone pain. I said, it's on the house. You caused me pain, I let him go. I clear the books for free. I let you off free. It's a statement. According to Rashi, it's not a statement. It's another rhetorical question. It is another rhetorical question. Why is the Vav there? It should say, in the Vav vo'achalotza. It should be, either it should repeat the word im a second time, or if you want to follow the rules of Nach, you don't have to repeat it. It is as if it was repeated. It would say, im gomalti sholomi ra, period, im achalotza sori reikam. Did I take off his clothing, the clothing of my enemy, for no reason? No, there was a reason why I did this. I had to send him a message.
But yeah. Was that action of wise move, sending him a message?
So it seems not.
Doesn't come off as a taunt more than
David at the time felt that this was a very clever thing to do.
Yeah.
It was a statement. I could have killed you, but I didn't kill you.
But thinking about it, it's more of it probably comes out as more of a taunting.
That's the problem here. First of all, you cannot ignore the fact that Chazal said that when David was old, David, the clothing did not give him warmth. Chazal said, why? He didn't have era. He didn't have era. So you see that it was not a good idea. Over here, in the beginning of the Mizmar, David says, I made a mistake. Chotasi, Shigoyon David, Shkogo, I made a mistake. Okay, so 32.
That's what it says,
clearly. That was the mistake. Okay, so 32. Two reasons why it's a mistake. Yet.
The third reason is his father.
What?
Yishver.
So, Yishver wants to kill you. You're saying nothing. It's nothing new. What?
The
Shviga, who was the Shviga? Who was Michal's wife?
Michal's mother.
Michal's mother. Who was Shaul's wife?
I don't know. She was
Achinoam. Who was she? I don't know about her. What Shviga she was from? She was Yaman? Also? Could be the Chazal, could be the Mamar Chazal, could be the famous person, I don't know. In any event, but here's...
In any event, David's intention was to make peace, with Shaul, not out to kill you,
Right. So there,
let's make up and be friends,
But there are two indications that David acknowledged that his method was wrong.
Right, because he cut the garment.
He cut the garment, so he should have done something else. What could he have done? That's not, whatever. Whatever it was.
He could have written him a nice note and left it there.
Right, Leroy.
So one problem is he cut the garment. What's the other problem?
No, two proofs. There are two proofs that what he did was inappropriate. Number one, when he was old, his clothing did not give him warmth, and Chazal explained it was in response. It was a punishment for his avera. Of being mevazeh of the garment of the melech. Number two, the beginning of this mizma, David here himself confesses, Shigoyon leDavid. I made a mistake.
And then the other
prayer, no, the problem over here is, in this pasuk, that's it. I'm just saying, I'm telling you two proofs that cutting the garment of Shaul was the wrong thing to do.
Because
the pasuk says Shigoyon. So David is acknowledging, I made a mistake. Proof number two, it was the wrong thing. Is that his clothing did not give him warmth. That's clear, and Chazal says it as a punishment. So we have two proofs, separate proofs, that the behavior of David was wrong. was wrong. He should have notified Shaul in another way. Figure out another way to make this meal.
Because he cut the garment, basically.
He cut the garment, and it was the wrong thing to do.
Right.
I took two proofs.
Right.
The problem is, this pasuk says there was nothing wrong with what he did.
Yeah, it would have been nice if he said
it was correct.
Without cutting the
it
garment.
Was correct. He says, "Im gamalti sholi ra, im achalitza shoroi reikam." Did I do this for no reason?
But that's in line with David's character. You know, Chazal may tell you, you didn't do anything wrong technically, but David admits when he is wrong.
So you say you're saying that this is
the Midah of Yehuda passed on. That's
okay. So your Bechol is saying something very, very
right.
deep. This is consistent yeah. with Kol Oimer David Chata Eina Ela Toya. David is
because he apologized.
Oh.
He started this whole perek is one sentence actually. There. He says, look, I made a mistake. Whatever, you can learn, take the Mefarshim and learn what was my mistake. And then he says, however, there is no question here.
What?
He says, like Hashem Elokai, Im Asiti, it's not a question mark. It's not Ha'im, Im. Im Asiti Zot, Im Yesh Avel Bechapi. Im gamati shomir ra, chatzash tzori rekam, then my punishment should be yirdof oyev nafshi v'yaseh yirmos la'aretz chayay v'chodi le'afar yashken sela. Period. This is what he said. He said, the whole time, now we learn what was the mistake and what was that, but the whole time he said, if it's an if sentence,
okay, so
if I did it,
then
let my punishment.
I hear. Okay, but it doesn't seem that Rashi and the Mitzvah, it could very well be that other Mefarshim are saying what you're saying. They're connecting this pasuk to the next pasuk. It's if I did something wrong, then I deserve to be punished. But Lufi Pshutos, Rashi and the Mitzvahs don't say that. Rashi and the Mitzvahs so far have both viewed this pasuk as independent. We didn't do pasuk
vav yet. The fact that he did something wrong.
Normally this if
I
then.
I mean, only America, you know, the
like in computers, there's an if
you say,
then
you say
clause.
You're sorry and everything's forgiven. But Medina, if he made a mistake, that's it. You have to pay the price.
So did he make a mistake?
Did something, killed, stole. He says, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, fine. Now, you know, Arba me suspends it.
But too little, too late. But these sins are not. There's no Mises Bezdin.
I'm just giving you an example.
Right.
Michal
is saying something very interesting. He's saying is that you find David. Chazal say the words explicitly. Kol ha'omer David chata, einoi elo toya. Anyone that dears says David made a mistake.
But here he did make a mistake. So
David said chotasi. David himself said chotasi.
Oh,
when
good.
David said, when he was confronted by Nosan Hanavi, he said chotasi.
Yeah,
so
but it doesn't mean that he did break the sin. It means if you say he did, you're
so
the problem.
You're getting involved in a question that has.
So you can't go around saying you're a sinner, You know, when you were 12 years old, I saw you steal a pickle from Flam's while you're waiting for the bus. You know?
So Mary is saying one of 100 answers. There are many answers question. But first, let's appreciate the question before we focus, because Michal is saying something very profound. He's taking that principle and he's saying that this is a underlying thread that goes through the entire life of David. Where on the one hand, David sinned, and on the other hand, Kol Oimer David Chata Einai Ele Toya. Don't you dare say that he sinned. Now again, Uriah David he took Bathsheba. Nosan Hanavi said to him, what are you doing? And David said, you're right. Chotasi. Along comes the Gemara. Kol ha'omer David chota einoi ela toya. How can you Gemara say that?
It doesn't say ta'ut. It doesn't say it's einoi ela toya. The person who says it is
okay.
Probably
he's going in the way of me.
No, because Gemara explains it's because
The Gemara doesn't explain.
Because the Gemara doesn't explain. Because the Gemara doesn't explain. Because the Gemara doesn't explain. Because the Gemara doesn't explain.
That's a chet.
The Gemara is talking
about that. Okay, so you're already now going through some of the answers. You're going down the path of trying to answer the question. To answer the question, we have a whole library to answer the question. Let's not answer the question. Let's not answer the question. Let's just focus on the question.
So all I was saying was that it's consistent with...
Consistent. A consistent pattern of behavior.
Which goes back to his...
Yehuda. Right. Yehuda. So you want it... David and Yehuda are the same. That's David's ancestor, Yehuda. And here is a new another revelation of the same exact principle. Did David sin or not? Shaul is trying to kill him. He finally gets... Shaul's finally in the cave. He goes and he cuts the corner of his garment. Now, so is that an Aveira or not? Mitzad Echad is the Melech Yisrael. The Bechir Hashem. Mishichmai Ulamala Gadol Mikol Ha'am. Okay, he's a Shver. He's Pasal Atalus. Now Shaul, he took away his mitzvah. So did he sin or not? Well, I can show you two proofs that he sinned. Two explicit Mamori Chazal that says that he sinned. Okay, the Gemara, when he got old, the garments did not give him warmth. And the beginning of the Mizmar, Shigoyon LeDavid. David himself says, Chatasi, Chatasi, Chatasi. Just like Yehuda said, Tzadka Mimeni. Just like when Nasan Hanavi said, David, this is an Eishes Ish. Don't give me answers yet. I know we have a lot of answers. Eishes Ish. David says, Chatasi.
So maybe there's two different definitions of a sin.
Okay, you're giving answers. I don't want answers. You're giving answers.
If
you're giving
you
answers.
Bring in 100 lawyers,
you're giving answers. But then over here, look at the contradiction. David says, I didn't sin. I didn't sin. Im achalutza tsoriri reikom. Did I go and I strip him from his garment for no reason at all? He's pleading his innocence.
He says, I sin.
Shigoyon.
But I don't deserve death.
Okay, that's an answer. You're giving answers.
That's what he says.
You're giving answers. Okay, I don't want answers. You're giving, there are a lot of answers.
But not this one.
He does say yes. Shigoyon to David. Shigoyon. He starts off, I sinned.
But how?
Let's just appreciate the contradiction. I hear there are answers.
Why is Shigeyon? I sin. I made a mistake. Right?
So then you're giving answers. You're giving answers. I don't want answers. How come everyone wants to give an answer?
There
are a lot of lawyers here.
Let us start with the question.
I'm the prosecutor here. The bottom line is, you're going to redefine the definition of vaccination. You're going to redefine the definition of gain function.
That was a headline.
Gain function. Did you fund them? You're splitting hairs and definition. I don't want answers.
What's the definition of CDO?
I made a mistake.
I acknowledge my guilt.
So you want to split hairs. Guilt. You know, it can mean there's a long shavar in guilt, there's a din agavra, din the chesa, there's a din azoy, and azoy, and it's not a stira. Okay, I'm asking to all the answers. The point though is, just take note of the acknowledgement that there's a chet on one hand, however you want to answer, and then there is, no, there is no chet. This, Rabbi Chol is pointing out, is a consistent pattern of behavior or a consistent acknowledgement in the life of David and his ancestors. Yehuda says tzadka mineni, and yet, and you can argue, it says lo yosef oid ledata, he remained married to her, according to one interpretation. He did nothing wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. And the other, and over here, David, or Bathsheba, kol oimer David chata, ein elatoya. And David says, Chatasi. Here, Shigoyon to David. Im achalza tsori chreka. Did I do it for no... I did it for a very good reason. I'm innocent.
I would like to magnify the question. A lot of times it says that, these people were murderers, and this, that, and the other. So I remember Miller Zitzel saying that Tanakh looks at these things with a very strong magnifying glass. That they really look at them.
So you're giving an answer. You're giving an answer.
Not an answer. I'm magnifying the question. I'm saying he did not really sin. He did not sin. It's just the magnifying glass. It was called a sin,
okay, so
but
that,
he did not sin. That's go for
that. That's
not,
an answer. That's
sin.
A beautiful answer.
It's not an answer.
That's
and
a beautiful answer.
Question.
But
I'm trying to
okay, I accept all the answers.
Yeah.
All of the
that's
answers
an answer.
Are profound, and there's lot to learn
that
from.
That go Golgotha. He did not sin.
Yeah. What?
I'm magnifying the question. That Golgotha, he did not sin.
He did not sin, because these are super, super, duper magnified beyond the, you know, and it's not near Leinayim. In halacha, if something is not near Leinayim, it doesn't exist. You don't have to go take a magnifying glass 100 times to go see if the Sefer Torah. So the neshama also, who told you to go super analyze people to go look into the deepest corners of the neshama? That's not the way you live.
Even
the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't demand that.
But he didn't really sin.
Ain't noch nami.
So that's why that's talk his whole life. Really, Golgotha, he did not sin. The fact
you're giving an answer.
Is this that and the other? Does that magnify the question?
I'm outnumbered here. Everyone is outnumbered here.
One more point here. This is not a court that come here to judge David. This is the point of view from David himself.
You're giving an answer.
He writes a parable.
This is another answer.
He writes a parable.
Okay.
He said Shigayon, and at the end. He said Shigayon.
He magnifying glass. That the tribune said he
started the sentence with Shigayon, and he finished with Selah. That's the end of the story. That's it. He said that's his point of view. I sinned, however, I didn't mean to do
it. I didn't mean to do it.
You know what? Avishai wanted to kill him right there, to kill Shaul. And he said, don't. He said, no, don't do that. And he just cut the kafamil and he took the keara there and then he left. That's all. So from his point of view, he didn't do a big sin. He did a small sin and he says, If I deserve death, let it be.
Abishai was not with him in the cave, by the way.
There were two stories. There were two stories.
Yeah,
there were two stories.
He on his own did not kill the soul.
In this case, yeah. Okay, right. You're true.
Hung jury.
Okay. But the point of Michal made is noted. You don't find this by other eight people in Ishei HaTanach.
No.
The Ishei HaTanach, you don't go say about other people, they sinned, but they didn't sin. Either you sinned or you didn't sin. Are you pregnant? I'm a little pregnant. Either you're pregnant or you're not pregnant. Okay, there's no in between.
Right, but in David's case, because he becomes the model for teshuvah, so it's important to bring that all of this out.
It is a consistent pattern of acknowledging
admission.
Nothing in life is so simple. There are different dimensions. In one dimension, sin. In another dimension, he did not sin. And David himself in this pasuk is saying exactly that. Okay, we have to go further. Let's go pasuk vav. Pasuk
vav. Also, it says, it was one person who stole. But nevertheless, what did the Navi say? That, Chotu Yisrael, I think, right? Chotu Yisrael, right?
Ochan. Ochan did not want to confess. He was forced to confess.
Himself, it says Chotu Yisrael.
But there he did sin.
Israel did sin.
That's a drasha. That's a drasha. That's a drasha. That the Arabs.
He says, "Kota Yisrael."
Hashem said.
We know David is held to a higher standard. So.
Yeah. Ochan, there's no apology for Ochan. No one says, but Ochan.
Yeah, right.
Ochan chata ain't elatoyim. No such thing.
Yisrael, it says.
That's a drasha. Hashem said to Yoshua. That's a drasha that if one person says it's the moral climate, it's the silent majority.
No, the point is though, I'm saying, go to Yisrael, did Yisrael sin?
Yes.
No, they did. Only one.
One person, but. That was Hashem's message. Okay, that's a different topic. That's a different topic. It's a powerful point. Correct. That's what it says there. Okay, we have to go further. Let's go further. Pasuk Vav is an important pasuk because one of the only, I think it's only seven. I'm not mistaken. There are only seven places in the entire Tanakh where there is a shalshalas, and that is what Uchevaydi. How many times in Tanakh is the word shalshalas? if I'm not mistaken, how many times are there in
four times
in Chumash? The Chumash and in Chumash is four times. And in the rest of Tanakh, how many times do you have a Shal Shalos? I think it's only a total of seven, three more times. Maybe it's eight, I think it's only seven, maybe I'm wrong. But over here, let's see what it's over here. Yerdoiv, Rabbi, Yerdoiv, Oyev, Nafshi, May, the enemy. Now this means, this is, now, even though we learn the part, let's read the portion. Yerdoiv, Oyev, Nafshi, may the enemy pursue my neshama, the aseg, may it overtake it, the Yermois Laritz, and throw it down to the earth, Chayoi.
What are we doing
now? I'm reading Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav, page 52. Okay, no, before that. Pasuk Vav. That's Pasuk Zayin. Erdoiv Asig Achalek Shalom. That's what it says. Yerdoiv Oyev Nafshim, but the enemy pursue my neshama. Period. Period. The Asig, the Yermois Laritz, Chayoi. Okay, we already hear the word nafshi and chayoi. It's poetic. In the beginning, in the first expression, it talks about David describes himself as the neshama. In the second expression, he describes himself as my life. What's the difference between the chayoi and the neshama? I do not know. As we mentioned yesterday, a person's existence is divided into many components. And when a person is alive, they're all bi'ichud. Hey, by the way, Rabbi Eliezer, before you came, we mentioned that we're learning today Lezeichet Ule'ila Nishmas, your mother and your mother-in-law, Kila Bastan and Pesha Mosa. Mina, sorry, I couldn't remember, it was a suffering of Mina. I actually said Pesha Mina Bas Yoheshua Binyamin. Okay, so may, and also Rivka Bas Mordechai, Dr. Stern's grandmother. Is your attendance today? Okay, so may Nisham have an Aliyah. And may their neshamas have an aliyah.
And it's also the yard side of Shlomo Malcha.
Who?
Shlomo Malcha.
Who's Shlomo Malcha?
He was a sort of a king, was he?
When?
Was in Prague 300 years ago. I think he was, I don't know if he was considered about Shuva or not, but.
He
went to the Pope to get the soldiers to fight for the Jews. He had his own flag, and the reason we have on the bottom of our let's say palace and this little tied into little knots, you know what I'm
talking about? On the the fridges?
I think the Shulchan Aruch quotes him from his palace. They know that that was the way he dressed.
Interesting. Zuchuso Yagin Aleinu. Zuchuso Yagin Aleinu. Okay, let's go further. Right side. Yerdoiv. So over here, we mentioned that there are persons neshama. There are two parts of there are persons neshama when he's alive. All the components come together, and that's why we have over here. But when a person leaves this world, Chazal tell us the components becomes like a wireless network. With different components, it's a mesh. You know what a mesh network is? It's a big thing today. Wi-Fi, mesh network, where you have different parts of the Wi-Fi in different locations, and they all work together, tzvemin, to give you what you need. It's a tremendous chachma. The mesh wireless networks. Look it up on Amazon. Instead of buying just one Wi-Fi router, you buy like five pieces, and you put them all over the place, and they all work together. That's the neshama. The neshama, when he's alive, it's in one place. After the neshama leaves the guf, the neshama is broken up different components. Each one has their mission.
A Jewish fellow figured it out. This way you have the...
Who else?
...the data and the application.
Right, exactly.
Different locations.
Each component has a unique task. Cloud computing. Each component has a unique task, and they're in different locations. And they work together. This is the dugma of the neshama. When a person is alive, all the components are centralized into one location. And there's the neshama, the all the different terms. There are a lot of terms to describe a person's. And even Chazal say they answer the Gemara that when a person even is alive, he says yesterday, we think that the neshama is in one place. No one knows what these things mean, but some of the Mefarshim, they say that when a person's alive, there are two components to his neshama. There's a component in the brain, and there's a component in his heart. And they work together. Now this is visible. No one knows what this means. But there are major contradictions in the Gemara as to where is the neshama located in a person's guf? Is it in the moyach, or whatever that means? Is it in the lev? And some answer eluva elu divrei Elokim chaim. Whoever said that the neshama is one thing. The neshama has parts, and there's Wi-Fi. They communicate with each other. There's a chelik of the neshama, the brain, a chelik of the lev, and they work together. They operate together. When a person leaves this world, those two chalakim are further broken down into different parts. And those parts, some go here, some go there, some remain in the kever, some remain there. I'm just saying words, but I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm just telling you what it says in some of these books, and whatever, you have to have emunah. We don't really know what these things mean. But it definitely does answer a lot of questions when you talk like that. And as well, the vocabulary, because why is there so many different forms of words of vocabulary that are found in Tanakh and Chazal describing a person's existence? And here you have an example, when it says to the pursuer of the Sinai Neshama, when it talks about the capture, it's the Aseg V'Yirmoitz La'aretz Chayai, which basically means that the Neshama can never be captured. You can run, and you can hide. The Neshama can run and hide, you can never ever capture the Neshama. The only thing that you can actually capture is the Chayoi, the Chai, that part. They will overcome it. They will trample it down to the earth's chayai. Now we have another word for the neshama. Word number three. Uchavoidi le'ofar yashkein selah. And my chavoid, that's another word to describe a person's neshama. A third term. There are three terms for a person's neshama here in this pasuk. It will remain in the earth. It will dwell in the earth forever. Okay, three different terms. Let's see the Mitzvah Stavim. How he puts all these things together. Pasik Vav. Yird of Ke'oimer, V'imloi Kedvarai. Okay, as it means. So, V'imloi Kedvarai. Now, here's the interesting thing about the Mitzvah Stavim. He's basically repeating the word in twice, with a very different meaning. This is much more sophisticated repetition. When we started today, we just said that when you learn Tanakh, there are two rules you have to remember. Number one, words are meant to be repeated. That's the way it's written. It's not English. The words are meant to be repeated. Number two, don't necessarily read the words in order. Do not translate in order. Now, when you talk about words being meant to be repeated, generally, 99% of the time, it's to be repeated in the same verse. Don't take a word in Pasuk Hey, we need a word in Pasuk Tess. So we'll take the word in Pasuk Hey, and we'll put it in Pasuk Tess to repeat it there. No, you don't do that. Localize. When you want to repeat words, you repeat words immediately in the same Pasuk. You don't often take words and repeat it. Here, it appears according to the Pasuk Sabi that we're going to break that rule. But it's the next Pasuk. Since it's the next Pasuk, we can take the word in and we can repeat it a second time. Or we can understand it as if it's being repeated. Now here's the bigger chiddush. When you do repeat words, usually it's the same translation both times in the repetition. It's not common to repeat a word. We know that words have, the Rashi always says the word key, that the word key has dal lashonos. And the truth is, if you look at Rashi very carefully, Rashi really says five. They're really not there four. There's really five of the Shana. It's a very complicated Rashi a couple of parashios ago. Very hard Rashi. 4/5 different translations for the word key. So if you have a word like that, and you have to repeat it, you would assume that when you repeat it the second time, you're going to be consistent and use the same translation. You're not going to go use a different translation. Here, it would appear to a degree that we're violating this rule, but we're making use of both exceptions. Because in Pasuk Hey, the Mitzvah Stavit made it very clear that the word im means did. It means did. You can translate the word im either, in our case, if or did I. That's a very different translation. In Pasuk Hey, it says, Im gomalti sholomi ra. Did I ever harm a person that was good to me with ra? Did I ever reciprocate mishale ra tachas toiva? So how does the word im mean? Did I? Did. Then it comes over here, pasuk vav. He's cursing himself. Efezah Hashem. Yirdoif oyev nafshi v'yaseg v'yirmos l'oretz chayoy uchvoydi lof v'yashkin tzela. What are you doing, David? You're cursing yourself? Who asked you to curse yourself? The answer is, no, I'm not cursing myself. It's conditional. Conditional. If I did something wrong, I'm so certain that I did nothing wrong, it's a way of a declaration. I'm positive I did nothing wrong, that if I talk I did something wrong, then let the enemy come and wipe me out.
Well, it's sort of the shall. You're not going by shall by the enemy, etc. Shall.
If I did something wrong, then let the enemy come and wipe me out. Wait a minute. That's a very different translation. That's a very different translation. In the first, when you look at Pasuk Hey, the word it means, did I do this? It's a rhetorical question, a rhetorical statement. Did I go and do anything wrong, Hashem? Yes or no? Of course not. Then Pasuk Vav says, it's basically forcing us to repeat the word in, but not just repeat the word in, to repeat the whole pasuk again almost. If I did something wrong, then let my enemy destroy me. This is Tanakh. Welcome, Rabbi Yisai, to Tanakh. Tanakh is not the New York Times. It's not in English, this is not in grammar school where if you would write something like this in sixth grade, you get an F for the course. If we were to write a sentence, even in Hebrew, like this, in sixth grade, you get an F. Because when you write, the goal is clarity. Have to use the right words, has to be the right sentence structure, it has to flow. There's a whole world. You don't give the Pulitzer Prize to the common man. You give the people who know the secret of language, and the secret of language includes many, many things. But the rules of language that apply to English and to all other languages are not the rules of language that apply to Tanakh. And here is a great example. Here the word in, and not only the word in, but almost like the whole pasuk basically, it says the whole pasuk, is meant to be repeated. And not only is it meant to be repeated, it's meant to be repeated with a different translation. And you have to dig underneath the hood to understand and appreciate that. So here, we're coming over here to Pasuk Vav. It's not just cursing. It's not an independent statement. It's a condition. If I have violated the terms and conditions, then I should suffer the consequences. What do you mean? But didn't the Mitzudas David himself in Pasuk Hey translate the word im in an entirely different fashion? And he viewed Pasuk Hey to be an independent statement, a rhetorical question, Hashem, did I do anything wrong? Of course not. I'm a good guy. Finished. That is the way you read Tanakh. And the Mitzvah says, Ka'amor, he just says in a few words this whole idea that we just brought out. Mitzvah says, Pasuk Vav, Ki'oimer. Ki'oimer means like Kloimar in Rashi. Stop, there's a stop sign here. If you want to understand what's going on here, reflect and understand that there's going to be repetition. V'im loy kidvorai kainhu, then yegmul onshi. You go back to the previous pasuk, you have to read it again, repeat the pasuk before with a different translation, and if I'm in a violation, then I should be cursed. The enemy year doif e'achar nafshi, v'yizoreiz lazulas l'rodfeini. This is a very interesting thing that says what he says over here. My enemy should encourage other people to pursue me, v'yaseg oisi, the year misseni, and throw me down, ba'aretz, kol yimei chayil, all this, kol yimei. See, what I said was, what I said was different than what the Mitzvah Tzav. The Mitzvah Tzav is, of course, is the Iker, and he says something very different. He says, all the days of my life, the Mitzvah Tzav is embellishing this pasuk with an enormous amount of words. Chayai, I defined it as an element of the neshama. The neshama is broken up into different four parts. In this part we have nafshi, chayoi, and kivoidi. Okay, I'm not taking back what I said because I have no doubt that other commentators say that.
By the way, when a tzaddik say klala, even if it's a
klala, we come to that. You're not supposed to do that.
And in this case,
David's violating those terms.
All his life he suffered. Oivim all over the place. Till the end.
A person should never curse himself, even conditionally. It is a cardinal sin for a person to curse himself, even conditionally. Moshe Rabbeinu said, the class, the Makar comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, If you're not going to forgive the Jewish people for the chet or egel, mocheini na misifrecha asher kosofta. Hashem said to Moshe, solachti kidvarecha. I forgive you. So done. What more do you want? Case closed. Solach. I know you're going to tell me if you're pakti pakadati. Okay, all right. Put that aside now. Solachti kidvarecha. And yet a token fulfillment of Moshe Rabbeinu's curse was fulfilled. Parshas Tetzaveh, the Atot Tetzaveh, Moshe's name is not mentioned. So, from there we learn, a Chacham's Klala, the Koy Chadibur of a Talmud Chacham of a Yerushmaim is so potent, afilu al Tanai, it can have an effect. So David here is doing just that. He's saying, Yirdoif, Oyev Nafshi, V'yaseg, V'yirmois, Laretz, Chayar, Chavodi, L'ofar, Lishkan, Yashken, Selah, Rav Kalman pointed, it was fulfilled. Study history. David's entire life. Go look at Shiras David. Shiras David says it all. Shiras David, at the end of Shmuel Beis, there's a song called Shiras David. It's almost repeated word for word where is it repeated word for word?
Tehillim 18.
It's called Shiras David. It's in Nevi'im and in Kesuvim. There are a few differences, a few small differences. Magdil Yeshua Smalka and Migdol Yeshua Smalka. One of the famous differences between the two, Chudwite and Shams Yamdif, and David here wrote that at the end of his life, the very end, and from those what he writes over there, it's pretty clear that Rahman al Tzlan, this pasuk was fulfilled. This, and David of Kalman is saying he brought it on himself, to a degree, whatever that means. Because a person should not curse themselves even conditionally. So why did David do it? David certainly knew what about Moshe Rabbeinu. I have no idea.
Another shigayon.
Another shigayon. Could be.
By the way, he uses the word nafshi throughout the place. Hashem helita min she'ol nafshi. And he said before, peni tov oyev nafshi, something. And he said, bachi nafshi et Hashem. He's very emotional.
Popular. The word nafshi is a very popular word.
Nefesh is very emotional word for myself. That what he uses it a lot in Tehillim and whatever.
Correct. That's very popular. So I suggested when we read the part, the word chayoy is another element of the neshama. The Mitzudas Tava disagrees. He says, no, don't make that mistake. Kol Yemei Chayai. The day is time. The word Chayai here is used to refer to time. And then let's go further. And also he adds another element that my enemies shouldn't just destroy me. My enemies, see, I don't know why he adds this, is they should encourage other people to destroy me. It's bad enough to have one enemy. But when you have an enemy that encourages other people to become your enemy, that's the worst. That is the worst of the worst. There are people, Rabbanim will tell you this. they're a balabad that don't like you. You're a rabbi, not everyone. Okay, if you're a president of the United States, everyone likes president of the United States. So when it comes time to go to the polls, to vote, so you vote for the other candidate. My next door neighbor, none of my business. Let him vote for whoever he wants. What's in my business to go to my next door neighbor and convince him that this candidate is the wrong candidate? You should vote for the other candidate. So, okay, you can do whatever you want, but from the point of view of the candidates that are running for office, that really irritates them. It's one thing you don't like me, but the other guy likes me. So let him vote for me. Wasn't it your business to go and to convince someone else to hate me? Okay, listen, politics. But over here, David, you're saying that it's not just that people need mizaris other people to help me. Let's go further. Finish up in the Mitzudos, again on page 53. Then he goes on to say, V'yasego si v'yir meseni ba'aretz kol yimei chayei. Chayei is time. The eskivoidi yashvil yoshechin la'olam ad he'afar, and my kavod will be lowered into the grave. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasik vav. There is no pasik vav over here. Now we cannot ignore the fact kavod over here is a shalshelis. Okay, a shalshelis usually connotes a delay. A delay. Yadad vayimoein Yosef, or struggle. Vayimoein Yosef is said to Eishes Potiphar. Eishes Potiphar persuaded Yosef, tried to seduce Yosef. Vayimoein went on and on.
Like stalling?
So what
internal
is,
struggle.
Internal struggle. Yeah. There was a long battle. It was extended. Where else do you have the same idea? By Sodom. Sodom, Lavan. Lavan. Vayismama. He delayed. He didn't want to leave so fast because of the money. He struggled. Should I stay? Should I not stay? Is it really going to happen? Should I believe it's going to happen? The Malachim, there is an internal a struggle. Where's the other place we have? By the Miluim, Vayishchot. It says that by
which is problematical.
Parshas Tzav. okay, so you have to analyze each one. So here, this is very rare. The rear ta'amin.
There was a delay because Moshe Rabbeinu was completing the avodah that he did. It was handed over to Aaron afterwards.
So the Tchelas Mordechai, authored by Mordechai Mintz Shlita, tells us that it was a painful
struggle
because Moshe Rabbeinu until this moment in time was the Kohen Gadol. And in fact, Moshe was meant to be the Kohen Gadol. That was his destiny at the time of the snap, at the burning bush. And it's only because Moshe was Vayismama. Right? It was Vayismama. Hashem said, Moshe, I have a mission. And Moshe says, no, you don't. I know I don't. I will not be your messenger to take out the Jewish people. And Hashem, very delicately, for 7 days, Moshe, you know, it's a good idea, we need you. Mm-hmm. And Moshe, for 7 days, it's like Moshe deliberated, and then at the end, Moshe says, I'm not doing it. Then Hashem said to him, you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice.
Your brother is not.
And because you gave me this Agmas Nefesh, by forcing it upon you, guess what? You lose. You were meant for much greater things. And now, Aaron Echicha Yenneviecha, he's going to get it. Vayishchot. When Aaron went, I'm not thinking from a Mordechai Sefer.
Moshe did the avodah for 7 days.
And that was it, all he got. Moshe was meant to do the avodah forever in his mishpacha. But because he made a mistake, he delayed, he didn't take advantage, it was now given over to Aaron. So when Aaron did the Maisa Shechita for the Miluim by Yom HaShmini, it reflected the struggle of Moshe and of Aaron as well, realizing that by him doing this now, he is taking the place of what was meant for Moshe Rabbeinu, who lost it because there was an internal struggle and a painful account. So you see over here, at least in through that, where's the fourth place? Where's the fourth shalshelis in the Torah?
I have to look at my sefer.
What?
I have to look at my sefer.
What was the fourth shalshelis? I forgot. But over here,
by
the talk about Yosef. Yes, Vayimoein, Lot, Vayishchot. There's one more. By Eliezer, by the well. We mentioned Eshpotifah. Eliezer, what did Eliezer say? What was he, Mispalo?
He had daughters.
It's Ulai. No, but what was the what's the pasuk? What's the word of the pasuk? Eliezer, when he was the scholar for the shirach, he also did the shashal. I forgot. Okay, so there was also a all right. Well, let's put that aside for the moment. I don't know, but over here, yeah. What is it over here?
It's a gradual
again.
So
you guess
nafshi
and
ruach.
Okay.
It's a gradual again.
That's three parts.
Okay, nafshi, I'm a person. Chayai, it's my life. Who cares about that? But the kavod shel haMelech, the kavod shel David haMelech, even that, Even that, we are far.
Okay, but it appears it's very similar. First of all, I want to point out is that the word kavod, this is an interesting thing. Sometimes the word kavod is spelled mole, and sometimes it's spelled choser. Last week's parsha, when Yosef tells his brothers, go back and tell my father, it's called kivodi. Yeah. Okay, it says the word kavod twice, and it says also by Lava, it was kavod. I don't remember all the details, but basically, Mepharshim explained as follows: a person has two types of kavod in this world.
Oh.
Money, you mechabed Rebbe, mechabed Ashirim. A rich man, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person money, that's the way it is. They get respect. They get. Why are you giving them respect? Because they're rich. Money. Does it really mean it? What about their neshama? Where will their neshama be in the next world? No one knows anything. But there's another type of kavod, and that is a richness of refinement in a person's midos, in a person's spiritual conscience. A person can be rich with money, and a person can be rich with refinement, which is a lot of work. Same way people sweat sleepless nights to make money, to work on deals, and to work very hard to achieve and to go up higher in the social ladder. There are people who work very hard on themselves. Magal midaysav, to learn Torah, to learn Musar, they improve their neshama. That's also called the kavod of the neshama, kavod. What if you'll notice, this is not my part, it says in the first, all the times when you talk about giving honor to people in the Torah because of money, there's no love. Whenever you talk about true stature of the neshama, kavod of the neshama, then it's molek, then there is a love. There's a love. So here we have the word uchavoydi, uchavav. This kavod does not come easy. Money? You look around in this world, it's very funny. It's really funny. There are people out there that are multi-billionaires. They literally do not know how to sign their name. Go to the bank, can you sign a check for me? A check, someone gave them a check. They have to endorse the check on the back. Can you sign the check for me? I don't know how to sign my own name. How much the check is made out for? $10,000, $100,000. I have a check. I also waiting in line to go to the teller. The check that's made out to me is for $18. And I know how to sign my name. And here online behind me, the check is made out for you for $1 million, and you don't know how to sign my name. Well, Hashem has a sense of humor. Hashem gives money to people. That's the way the world works. You. Everyone knows, everyone has seen it. There are people that just somehow, for some reason, they're mazel, whatever it is. Hashem gives money to those, but to rise up in the world of Ruchnias, to improve your neshama, to achieve spiritual achievements, there's no shortcuts. There's no lottery. There's no New York State lottery. And if you put in, give a dollar and a dream, your neshama will be refined. You will know kolata and kula. You will be a malach alokim. It doesn't. There's no lottery for that. You got to go through the steps. Got to work very, very hard, a whole life of struggling. There's a vav here. We're dealing over here with the real kavod. And on top of that, there is a shalshalas. Real kavod only comes with real struggle, internal struggle. Chvaydi, that over here is a pashut of musavart, in why over here there is a shalshalas on top of the word chvaydi. I think there's 7 or 8 times that we have the shalshalas. Let's see.
The Ibn Ezra says, the kvodiz in nafshi, the sodam
alta
nafshi, ubikhalam alta chad kvodi. The same pasuk.
Same pasuk, the kavod in the shalom, right? Okay, yeah, everybody, yeah, this is all over Tanakh. All over Tanakh. Let's see what another pasuk, kukuma Hashem b'yapecha, hinosei be'avrois tsararoi v'ura elai mishpat sivisa. A lot of words, Hashem, rise up in your anger. In other words, David over here is telling the Baruch Hashem, take hold of the midah of anger, not against me, against your enemies. And he not say, rise up. There are two words here, kuma and the word he not say. Two words which are very similar. Both words mean to rise up. We have two different types of emotion There is af and chema. We have this many, many times. Af and chema. What is the difference? We'll see it soon. Different. Some say af is internal. It's pent up. Chema is when the person has a meltdown, when he actually acts out, when the chema overflows and the person gets shows it. And that's avrois. And so that's era. Okay, there are two words. There's kuma and there is avrois. Avrois is the lashon of it's evra, anger. Okay, and then we have two words over here. We have the kuma goes with the word af, and the word hinosei is connected to the word avrois. When we are describing enemies in the first expression, it doesn't even mention the enemy. It's self-assumed. Who's the enemy? Kuma Hashem Yaper, against who? Against who? It doesn't say. Obviously, refers to my enemy, but there is no word mentioned. When it comes to hinosei the avrois, we mention the enemy by a term. There are many different words for an enemy. Tsoroi, my enemy, this is my enemy. Then we have a third word. V'ura elai mishpat tzivisa. Ura means wake up, which is the third verb. Kuma, hinosei, and ura. The first two words are being used in a negative sense, punish. And the third word, ura, is being used in a positive sense, where rise up, bring forth to me your justice. The justice, and here we have a unique expression that you have commanded. What's the use of the Pasuk Zion? Pasuk says, Kuma Hashem Hol since v'lo chotasi bazeb. David is convinced I did not do anything wrong. Return the lemar im ki lo chotasi b'shaul. Ein ani mevakish olav v'al anashav. I have nothing against him. Ach kuma Hashem b'yapecha v'inasei b'mashe tovi evro al tzorai. Rise up and bring anger of my enemies. Ki kishakadosh baruch hu oisa din barashayim hu misaleh u misnaseh. This is the Maamar Chazal. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's saying over here, really, it's a judge. It's uncharacteristic of the Netzuvos David to translate a pasuk in this way. This is something that you would typically see in the Medrash. And that is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does justice in this world, Hashem's name is elevated. People are afraid. People come to acknowledge the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mishpat. Hashem is Din. You know, there's no free lunch in this world. When in this world, when things, when there's Hester Panim, and the wicked people are permitted to prosper, people begin to doubt Hashem. They begin to wonder, where is Hashem? Where did Hashem go? How could it be that how did Hashem allow this to happen? Where was Hashem? And then when the wicked are obliterated from the earth, and a person can clearly see that there is din v'cheshbon in this world, then Hashem's name is glorified. It's a kiddush shem shamayim. So this is how even the Mitzudois David is translated. Not from the Mitzudois David saying this, you would typically guess that the Mitzudois David would say, the kofel hadover b'nilo shonos. The classic expression of the Mitzudois David. It means the same thing. Hashem, help me, rise up and wipe out my enemies. Hinosei, lift yourself up and show chema, evra, to my enemies. Right? Isn't that the classic translation of the Mitzudois David? Kofel hadover b'nilo shonos. And then we look in the Maamar Chazal. We'll quote you some esoteric medrash. Oh, hinosei, kiddush shem shamayim. When Hashem brings punishment upon this world to the wicked people, Hashem's name is nis'alev and niskadish, yiskadal v'yiskadash mei rabo. A spiritual hinosei that is the result, not part of the battle. But yet, in this instance, the Mitzvah Slavon himself is opting in for that interpretation. Yeah.
What David is doing here is he's saying, my enemies are your enemies.
Right. That's always the case, right?
So, therefore,
when you will rise up and you will show justice in this world, your name will be elevated. Okay, next case, finish up. V'urelai, end of the V'urelai, urelai imutz koyach. Wake up, arouse towards me. Here he says it's a little unexpected. Imutz koyach, might. L'hiskaber aleihem v'lasoiz bohem ha-mishpat shetzivisa, which you commanded, b'shiras hazinu, v'soichez, you will take hold b'mishpat yodi, k'moy shenema lasoiz bohem mishpat kosudan. This is very interesting. David over here is saying, according to the interpretation of Mitzvah David, he's dwelling upon the word Eli, which means that we like to think that when there'll be the Melchemes Goy Gumagum, Yimot HaMashiach, we're going to be sitting in the shul, in the Beis Medrash, and we're going to sing, Shira Malois, and we're going to say Shira Malais, and we'll learn Daf Gemara, and then someone will take out their smartphone, not in the Beis Medrash, of course, outside, and they'll show you a video of miracles, all of our enemies, hailstones, coming down upon them from Shemayim, and who knows, and we're doing nothing. We're in the Beis Medrash. Every time we say Shira Malais, it's like another bullet. In Shemayim, coming from Shemayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not going to be engaging in activity. That's not what David says. David says, I'm going out to the battlefield. I'm getting in my car, in my tank, in my airplane. I'm going to be the one that's going to shoot the missiles. Problem is, I got a jalopy, and they have, you know, world-class weapons of mass destruction. So Hashem, I need you to help me. The Ura Eli arouse within me the strength, the sophistication, the technique that I myself can be the one that can actually conquer the enemies. David is not asking, at least in this pasuk, that when I'm a spalel to the koyach, and the Gemara talks about this, that just the koyach of tefillah, your enemies just collapse on the battlefield. Look at Chizkiyo HaMelech, Lel Pesach. Lel Pesach, Chizkiyo HaMelech, they were surrounded. They already, Sancheiriv already conquered the entire Eretz Yisrael. The last holdout was Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. And they were surrounded by an army that outnumbered them a million times to one, Chazal say. He had 800,000 soldiers. So Chazal doesn't mean that 800,000, so that sum would be enough. He had 800,000 generals, and each general had underneath him who knows how many soldiers. And he was actually very disappointed, he says, Chazal, when the Chizkiyo came, this is the city? This is what I came for? This little shtetl? Yerushalayim in his eyes was like, what? And he was willing to go fight at night. This? That's when he traveled all this distance? Wait until tomorrow morning. This is a joke. We'll be able to wipe them out in a second. Everyone, refresh yourselves. What was Klal Yisrael doing at that time? They were eating the Karban Pesach, a Seder. They went to the Seder. Don't worry. And that night, they all went to sleep and no one woke up, except for a handful of people. That's how we think about it, right? We think about Mohammed Skogumagog. They'll go to sleep and they won't wake up. And the war is over. David says, no. I want them to be awake, and I want to go outside tomorrow and kill them all with my bare hands. How are you going to kill them all with your bare hands when you're outnumbered? Ura Eli Mishpat Tzivisa. You wrote in Hazinu, this is an incredible mitzvah on how he reads, and see, this is the difference between the men and the boys. Someone like me, you read Tehillim, you know, Hashem, you're Mishpat. But if you know Tanakh on your fingertips, you get disturbed. What is the Mishpat Tzivis? What? Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command Mishpat? What are we talking about? The Mitzudas David. He says, go look in Sefer Hazinu, in Shiras Hazinu, Vissoichez, you human being, take your bare hands, you grab with your bare hands, you're living in the Olam Ateva, grab Vissoichez B'Mishpat Yodi. I'm going to take with my bare hands Mishpat. Don't leave Mishpat for Hashem. Do it yourself. What about Chizkiyahu? Obviously, yesh v'yesh. There's a time and place for everything. Sometimes you let Hashem do it. Sometimes you do it yourself. Grab with Mishpat, b'mishpat, yodi, my hands. Another pasuk, Chumash Ne'amar, there as well. La'asois bohem, you, the Jewish people, you have to take the initiative. La'asois bohem mishpat kosuv. You have to do mishpat. This is the big thing, you know, the very big debate. They weren't religious at the time there, so, but with Eichmann, the big debate, how should the Jews deal with Eichmann? They captured Eichmann in Argentina, they brought him to Eretz Yisrael, and they had a trial. The world said, you're biased. You can't be the one to have the trial. You're having a trial, of course he's going to be guilty. The trial has to be an international court of law. Because the whole state, everyone in the Eretz Yisrael is the victim. is a Holocaust survivor. So you're going to go try Eichmann? You need to have it. It has to be fair and square. You have to have an international. It's a point. You know, it's not a partial thing. So what is the response? The Ribbono Shel Olam says, don't leave it to an intuition. There is an argument to be made. No, no, no. When it comes to something like this, you don't leave it into an international court of law. La'asois bohem mishpat kosov. V'soiches b'mishpat yodi. Mishpat. This is mishpat. Let's see what you did. Let's look at the evidence. Let's see exactly what happened. And who's the judge? That's right. It's biased. That's right. We're the victims, we have the right. It's a very delicate balance. It's a very delicate balance of when a person has the right to take the law into his own hands and when you need an international court. Golos. A person kills someone inadvertently. He runs to Golos. If he steps out of Golos, the relative has the right, and some hold a mitzvah, to kill the murderer. What do you mean? Take the law into your own hands? A vigilante? The Torah gives him the right. The Torah gives Klal Yisrael the right to execute mishpat. Don't go to an international court of law. Just the opposite. They're biased. Halacha b'yadua Esav soyne Yaakov. They're the ones who are biased. Why are you looking that we're biased? They're biased. And the Torah says this, but you need koyach. You need stamina. You need the will not to fall to public pressure. How can you go do this? Klal Yisrael was zoicha to the king of this pasuk regarding Eichem. They were zoicha to the Ura Imlai. There was enormous public pressure. He started history. It wasn't around then. He started this for history. And Meir gave me some good books on this stuff. A lot of so many things have come out of Eichem. So many things have come out. I've been revealed. They actually have something very recent. You know where I saw this? Because I saw this is fantastic. You should read this. This is a new book. You can read about this. That's why I'm probably thinking about this. A new book that was just published by Artscroll. It's called The Insider. Hot off the press. The Insider.
What insights were in this book?
History. It's basically Jewish history, modern Jewish history, from the perspective of, you know what his name is? I don't even know what his name is. A Haredi reporter. He worked basically for the Israeli government, a good part of his career, for the military department. In the government, they need to do press releases. Press releases. Every day, the government has to have a press release. He did for the government the press releases. And because of that, he was present in top secret classified meetings. And he saw Jewish history in modern times from the inside. Fascinating, fascinating stories that you'll never see, you'll never know, unless you were an insider. And he writes there about Eichel. He was there. He intervened there, mamish, right in the belly of the beast, at the time of the trial of Eichmann and the execution of Eichmann. And he dealt with the person who the executioner, and with a lot of fascinating Jewish history about Eichmann. And it was a very big struggle for Eretz Yisrael to take upon themselves the moral obligation to capture him, to bring him to trial in Eretz HaKodesh, and to make an example of him against the whole world. The world didn't like it. What?
The legal aspects.
Everything was illegal. There wasn't one legal thing about it.
No, they was legal. They had
to capture him in Argentina.
Paperwork that showed that he was wrong.
Whatever. And it's mamash akima what it says in this pasuk. The Uri, like, give me the courage. The way the Mitzudas Tavalum Shah Hashem, awaken in me. Not you, Hashem. Hashem, give me the will that I should execute the mishpat, the justice, tzivisa, that you commanded us to do in Hazinu. You commanded us, the soichez ben mishpat yodi. And what it says, la'sois bohem mishpat kosov. Don't be a wimp. Today, 2021, never, this never would happen. It has to be fair and equity and be biased. The whole is amazing. So it was a whole different world. Every day they condemned Israel, but it was still different. I was actually talking yesterday to Ezra Fried, sitting shiva, Ezra Fried comes to the Yom Sinshava. So I went to Menachem Mendel, so his wife was there, so I took the opportunity to ask her. She was on the plane. There were three planes that were hijacked in 1970. There were three planes at the same time, the same tekufa, they were hijacked. She was on the TWA plane with Rav Hutner. Rav Hutner. There were a few hundred people on the plane. They don't make planes. They don't make these planes anymore. Kamat. The big jumbo set. They phase them out. They're too big. They're too big for most airlines today. The Dreamliners today are half the size of the old fashioned big 747s of those days. There were a few hundred people that was hijacked. She was on the plane. She was a very young girl, and I always wanted to talk to her and ask her, get a first hand report of what exactly happened during the hijacking. And I mean, there's a lot of people on that plane. Rav Hutner was on the plane. Rav Yonason Dave was on the plane. Rabbi Fund, he's a rabbi here. And you'd be surprised how many people were on that plane.
Rabbi Drillman was also on the
plane. Rabbi Yankel Drillman was on the plane. And a lot of these people had a very profound effect on their lives. So she said something yesterday. It was very interesting. I started talking to her about it, asking her about it. She said to me something very fast. She said to me, it was a different. She said to me, it was a different world then. The world wasn't yet evil, and although they were hijacked, like Rachmana Litzlan, if a plane was hijacked today, it's like in the movies. You know, you call them a SWAT team. Something's going to happen very violent, one way or another. It was a very different. It's impossible to understand. It was a different time in the world, and even though the plane was hijacked, the way people behaved and the terrorists themselves as well. The terrorists.
What are you talking about? They put.
That's what she said. She said they wired the whole plane. She said she told them they wired the whole plane, they're ready to blow up the whole plane in 1 second.
Killed the co-pilot.
No, I don't think the co-pilot was not connected. That's a different plane. There were three planes. There were three planes. That was the first. There were three hijackings in that school, but they got worse and worse. Each one got worse and worse. That was the first one. She said the people's mindset on the plane, it was shocking to me what she said to me. It was different. It's not possible for people in our generation to really relate to the whole event. It was a mind-altering, it was a life-changing event, a Rachman Litzlan, terrifying event. But when people today look at it and they study it, they're studying it with the mindset of the 21st century, the violence and the evil of the 21st century. The world was not evil at that time to the degree it is today. And it's impossible for us today to study and learn from it because it was just different. It's just very different.
The world is very evil.
It's very evil. I'm not saying the world. Ura Eli Nishmat Sidisi, it would never happen. Would Entebbe happen today? Never. Never. Entebbe happened today, 21st century? In the year 2021, Entebbe? Impossible. It's impossible. Think about it. First of all, technology would not allow it. That's number one. The technology today on both sides would never. The whole thing would never happen today. And this also happened. I think it would never happen today. But yet it was an incredible accomplishment of Eretz Yisrael to do it. V'ura Eli Mishpat Tzivisa. Mamish, what it says over here. Okay, out of time. Mirshem.
It's
way too late.
It's Vayoma.
So why did it get to the level? Is the compassion? Eli, and Eli, you're the safer. You explaining the safer why?
What?
You explaining the safer why it says there by Shoshalas?
By Yishka, yeah, explaining the
safer. By Vayomer also.
By what?
This one, Vayomer.
Yeah, I explain all of them, but that's pashut.
Because Ulai Eli.
I said that the kash is by Yishchon.
Where
do we see the other one?
So you said that the transfer between Moshe is a very good part.
What was the explanation of why on Kavodi is a shall show?
No.
Kavodi is spelled with a vav, mole. It's not money. Kavodi here refers to internal struggles.
But doesn't all three of the shalshelas, in each of them, in Gracious, tell us about an internal struggle?
Yes.
Each one of them.
Yes.
So what's the struggle here?
In order to achieve true cover, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of struggle. To achieve cover without a vav, I mean, it takes work, but sometimes you win the lottery ticket also. But to achieve spiritual cover,
you know what? Hold on a second.
With a vav, takes struggle. It takes a lot of work, a lot of effort.
I have another explanation. Shalshelet hamlucha.
The Yichus.